Oh no, I just need to not yell. How about?
Just try not to scream. But if you need to, that's fine.
It's hard not to. It's season 6, episode 5, the Halloween episode, everyone.
I'm so excited. Hey. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Is it our fifth or our sixth Halloween episode this year?
You know, the years are flying by. The years have flown by.
They really have.
I've grown a beard. I've lost a kidney, you know. Lots of changes.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last episode.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I got divorced.
Yeah, remember you donated your kidney to me for my operation.
Oh my God, that was really intense though.
Wait, the person you were talking about last time was Anthel? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Surprise, you guys, I have a new kidney.
Thank you.
You guys are like almost closer than friends.
Closer.
I tried to get the doctors to sell her.
Yes. Well, welcome to another episode of Yo No Good Tea Time, guys. It's the Halloween episode. Yay! So obviously you guys know this. This is like what our millionth year doing this.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Weed podcast, not a weed podcast like that one time where we got in trouble with the police.
Yeah. We did for season 4 episode 2. Yeah.
That was crazy. Remember when we met Markiplier?
Season 4 episode 20.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh my God, when we met Markiplier.
That was insane.
Also season 4 episode 20.
And you went to jail.
So weird. Season 4, episode 21.
No, that was season 3, dumbass.
So good. We're a weeb podcast. We talk about weeb stuff. And honestly, it's not even about weeb stuff anymore. It's just about crying.
I know.
Summoning the dead.
Well, into season 6, God. We've kind of
jumped. Remember we had that one true crime stint? Which season
was
that
again?
Season 5?
Yes, and you solved a murder.
Yeah.
You were on trial. It was good.
Yeah. That was fun live streaming that court date.
It was fun.
I can't believe Netflix wanted to buy the rights from you.
I can't believe it either.
To make it into a Netflix original. Wow.
Truly. Wow. We've been living a wild life. It's Halloween. We release new episodes every month, not every week. We tried that out for a while. We do a host rotation. This time it's me. Other times it's not me.
It's Ariana Grande. Shout out to season 5, episode 7.
Hey. So good. So good. It's so sad she lost all of her hair. It's so weird. and also, we like do live streams sometimes, but you know what? Not even going to tell you when those are.
Not today.
Those are surprise.
Not today.
Essentially, every month, I'm blindfolded and I throw a dart at 10 spaces and only one of them says live stream.
Amazing. He's so good at that. And you can find us on, Spotify, Stitcher, Google
Apple,
stuff.
Music,
and wherever you want to find your podcast, wherever they're streaming.
Yeah.
And my name...
Podcasts.
So my name is Juby. You might know me as Juby Phonic, or for my little stint there as Rachy. I'm Juby again.
Wait, to all the new viewers, right? Me and Julie did this one stint where for one season, we actually like acted as each other, and I think only like 50% of people figured it out.
But it was so weird, honestly.
So weird.
I lived with your parents and you lived with mine, and it was like, it was good.
See, the funny thing is, they didn't tell me till halfway through.
I know.
I'm here.
It was good. And introduce the other person who shares, my kidney.
Yes, me. Hello, Anthong.
I still can't get over
the
that.
Kidney. Thank you.
Kidney.
Anthong. Yeah. Anthong Phonic. My new.
Oh my God. Branding. You guys are married.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
After my
surprise.
Divorce, yes.
Shout out to season 6, episode 1.
No, okay, that one totally did not happen. You're pulling my leg.
I know. Sorry, you guys. That one was a lie, but everything else is the truth. Hi, I'm Anthong. I'm Anthong the Gay, as some may know me. We're back at it again. Another season. Another murder to solve.
Good. 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 And that just leaves the female. The other
Hi,
female.
Hi, I'm Rachie. I'm a femoid, and I play games.
Gamer girl. <That's hot. laughs>
Yeah, you should check out Rachie's now a level 130 character on Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
Because this is season 6, and time has passed, but we've been keeping up.
It's so fun, okay?
So fun.
So
yeah.
Good.
Level 130 blue mage. So fun.
Oh my god. Why so did fun. I hear blue mange? But anyway, yeah. So I'm drinking not tea because I've already had tea for tonight. I'm just literally just drinking lemonade out of a Chick-fil-A
You're
cup.
You're so valid.
Oh, thank
oh my
you.
God. Yes, out of a Chick-fil-A cup.
Thank you.
Lemonade.
What
I'm
are you
drinking?
Guys drinking?
Water.
Ooh.
Out of a Starbucks cup.
Okay.
Water's overrated. I'm like dehydrated right now.
I have to, you know, give nourishment to my new kidney.
Yum,
my
yum,
new
yum.
Julie. That's a part of me.
Julie, wow.
Yeah, wow.
Good. And Rachie's just, she's drinking
nothing. I'm drinking
she's gamer yeah. fuel.
Gamer
she's
fuel.
Drinking gamer fuel.
I'm drinking Mountain Dew and I'm eating Doritos.
And pissing Monster energy.
Yeah, and oh shit, actually, I might have drank out of my piss bottle, but it's okay.
Oh my god, I hope you get that checked.
Nah, it's fine.
Good. Okay, so now that we've done all of that,
yeah.
Obviously, oh, wow. Obviously.
It took 8 minutes, as per usual.
as per usual. So, obviously, today, you know, Halloween episode. And as usual, I've got my spooky, scary stories
yes.
that you guys are going to be subjected to.
Yes.
I mean, I'll give you choices of like what I read next, but
oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also I should probably shout out to all the sources that I have, like this
Audible,
time I kind of
which is what we're sponsored by.
No.
We're not.
This time
another lie.
I yes. Audible, if you're out there, can you hear me?
I mean, honestly, no.
But yeah, my main source today is Tara A. Devlin. She has an entire series of these kind of short, scary books where she, you know, some of them are just like spooky, scary, like Japanese ghost stories. There's one literally just about crazy Japanese internet mysteries called Bankai.
So is this a new source or was this the one that you also used in the first season?
I used one of her sources in the first season. This time I decided to just kind of go all out and buy a bunch of her stuff. And it's honestly just been pretty great because she's an amazing writer. And I won't be reading, obviously, the entirety of these, so
the entire collection.
Please support her. These are amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, and beyond that, I might pull some true crime from.
Yes.
I mean, they're kind of.
Yes. Come on.
I don't know. Japanese true crime is a whole nother.
It's crazy.
Yes.
It's insane.
Ooh.
It's insane.
Oh, that one episode on My Favorite Murder where they discuss the crime that happened in Japan that one time.
Which
oh,
one?
My God,
that
yes.
one time.
The
one time there was a crime.
Poisoning? The cyanide?
Was it the cyanide? It was one of their early episodes.
The cyanide in the Pocky? The Glico murder?
No, I didn't see that. I didn't listen to that,
that
one.
Wasn't, I don't think that was on My Favorite Murder.
That was actually just Rachie. She poisoned those. That was
you can't say that.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Not on live television. You're
hey,
right.
Our lawyers won't like that, Julie. We've already gotten
right.
in trouble with them once.
Our band of lawyers.
No, I
yeah.
just remember the murder was like some guy. I think he like fell down the stairs in the second floor of his home or something. But it was like it was one of those like cases Ooh. Where they don't know what happened.
There's
honestly.
There's a lot of those. I went through a lot yeah. of those where it's just like they never figured it out. And I'm just kind of like, yeah. you know what? Okay. but yeah, so I'm just going to go through a couple different ones, either scary stories, scary places, or weird internet mysteries, or some true crime.
True so, crime, on, really true quick. Crime.
Wait, Rachie, the Pocky thing, was that Rainbot that did
it
that?
It might have been.
I think it was
remember.
Because,
The
okay,
Morinaga
okay.
Glico.
Yeah, because yes. she had to go into the, like, backstory about the whole thing that leading up to it, about how he got, like, kidnapped
yeah,
for ransom or something, and then he,
one.
Like, escaped or yeah. something.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Okay, anyways. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm just gonna, because I know I actually recorded some of the lengths of these so that I would remember. Mm-hmm. Do we want to start off with a long one or a short one? just like in general.
Let's get a short one to get the spookiness set in. Okay. Our brain juices flowing.
Yeah, yeah. Then I will choose from the Reikan, which are kind of scary places. Do you want to hear about... Actually, you know what? I want to choose the first one because this one just caught me by such surprise that I was like, I'm sorry. Hmm. What? So, yes. Okay. Have you guys have heard about the Onibaba, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know the whole story?
No.
No.
Okay. So, I'm just going to... I'll give the location because it does actually give the location of this first. And I'll just... You know, we'll go from there. So, location, 4 Chome, Adachi Gahara, Nihon Matsu, Fukushima Prefecture, and it gives, like, you know, zip code, whatever.
It was the year of the Fire Tiger in the Jinki era, 726. A monk from the Kii province, Tokubo Yuke, was traveling through Adachigahara. The sun was setting, so he stopped by a cavern to request shelter for the night. An old woman lived inside. The old woman kindly invited him in. She told Yuke that she didn't have enough firewood, so she would go out to gather some more. But while she was gone, he was not to look in the back room. But Yuke was overcome with curiosity, and after she left, he peeked into the room. There he found a mountain of human bones piled high. Shocked, Yuke remembered hearing a story of an Onibaba who killed travelers in Adachigahara and ate their flesh. Suspecting the old woman was that Onibaba, he fled the cavern. The old woman returned a short while later, and when she noticed Yuke fleeing, she ran after him with incredible speed. A terrifying look on her face, she soon caught up to him. Driven into a corner, Yuke took out the statue of Nyoirin Kanon out of his luggage and frantically began to pray. Then, the statue started to float in the air before him. It formed a white bow of light with the power to exorcise demons, and from it shot forth an arrow made of Vajra. The Onibaba was vanquished. Although she was defeated, the Onibaba was able to enter heaven with the guidance of the Kanon statue. Yuke built a mound on the shores of Abukuma River to bury her, and after that it became known as Kurozuka, the Black Mound. The statue that guided the Onibaba to heaven was thereafter called the White Bow Kanon, and it took on deep faith. The above legend is told about Kurozuka, the grave of the Onibaba, that you can visit in Fukushima Prefecture. 100 meters away, you can visit the Kanzenji Temple, which is said to also have been built by Yuke to deify Nyoirin Kanon. The temple grounds house the cavern where the Onibaba lived, and the pond is said to be where she washed her blood-soaked knife, also called the Blood Pond. That's not the only story about the Onibaba of Adachigahara, however. There's another, more sinister tale of how the Onibaba came to be. There was once a wet nurse called Iwate who worked for the imperial court in Kyoto. One day, the princess she was caring for fell sick to a mysterious illness. But no matter what they tried, nothing worked, and so Iwate went to see a famous fortune teller. "If you feed her the liver of a live pregnant woman, she will get better," the fortune teller said. But it was not so easy to find a pregnant woman, nor was getting the liver from a live one so easy to come by. Leaving her own daughter behind to find what she needed, Iwate eventually found herself all the way in Adachigahara, where she set up a house next to a cave. One day, a young man by the name of Ikoma Nosuke and his wife Koi lost their way and appeared in Iwate's cave. They were on a trip looking for Koi's mother. They requested to stay the night in Iwate's cavern, but that night, Koi went into labor. Ikoma Nosuke hurried to find a doctor, but on the way, he suddenly felt like something was wrong, so he returned to the cave. When he got there, he found Koi on the edge of death at Iwate's hand. Driven mad with despair, Ikoma Nosuke drove his own sword through his stomach to join his wife in the afterlife. Iwate then pulled a talisman from Koi's kimono. It was the same talisman she had given her own daughter when she left Kyoto all those years ago. She had killed her own daughter. Realizing this, Iwate went mad and transformed into the fearsome Onibaba, and whenever travelers came to stay in her cavern for the night, she would kill them and consume their flesh.
Yeah!
Let's just go fucking real estate agent up next to this cave bitch, okay, I guess.
Truly, truly, but yeah, truly. Like, she, and so obviously, like, you know, it's not haunted by the Oni Baba anymore, because, like, you know, he sent her to heaven, that one monk, but, yeah, they're like, yeah, kids, don't play there. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah. Because, you know, kids will fall.
I actually shivered when you read that, because in my ambiance music, a door, like, opened, and there's, like, a grandma, like crying.
Yeah.
Like,
it's,
distantly.
Honestly.
This freaked me out.
But, you know, if you're ever interested, you can go to that place on the temple grounds.
And oh, I'm
they,
not. Thanks,
though. Okay, they have an actual knife that said the Oni Baba used to kill her victims. And they also have the pot where she boiled them.
No.
It's kind of like a fun thing. They like to have fun with it. They like to have fun here. But, yeah. Also, just as a side note, I'm going to go back and re-record these readings, because I'm going to stumble a lot over this fucking Japanese stuff.
I remember you did that last time.
Yeah, it's easier for me. But, yeah. So, there you go. Oni Baba.
Oh, fun.
That's one.
Yay.
That's one story.
Clap, 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 clap.
I guess Baba.
Confusion?
Like, okay, demon grandma. Wait, demon grandma? Baba
demon
Obachan?
Grandma, yeah.
Demon Oni?
Oni Baba. There she be. Yeah, it's cool.
Japanese lesson of the day?
Japanese lesson of the day. Also, I forgot that wasn't one of the short ones. I forgot.
Oh.
I'm silly. Okay.
Oh, you silly goose.
I am a silly goose. Okay. Do you want to hear about... oh, God. I don't know why. There are a lot of hospital scary stories.
Of course.
Like, there's just a lot of them.
I know a few of
what
them,
is
too.
It? Hello? Is that me?
Is it you? Are you scaring yourself right now?
What is...
Are you good?
Oh, it's because my arm is... My mic arm. I can't see it because of the darkness. So I was like, what is this weird... It's just my arm.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that scared the shit out of me. I thought it was like... And then my tattoo as well. Oh, my God. I thought there was something like down here.
So, okay. There's a really short one that I think is just kind of interesting in general. Because I guess, I understand hospitals are scary, you know, because like people die and like
some would say.
Okay, so this one is from the Koabana Scary Stories, Volume 7. Okay, so this is hospital where spirits. God, I can't say things right now. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk? You'd be stupid.
Six seasons and you still can't read.
It's
I know.
Good.
This happens
it's
every
good.
Halloween, though.
It happens every Halloween.
True.
So, hospital where spirits materialized.
I heard this story from my friend. Apparently, it's something that often happens at hospitals. Two nurses were walking down the hall. It was lunchtime. An old woman, one of the inpatients, came walking towards them and said hello. The nurses said hello back. After the old woman had passed them, one of the nurses turned to the other and said, "Don't turn around. That woman died yesterday." It seemed that the old woman hadn't realized she was dead yet. When people think of ghosts, they mostly think of them being transparent spirits. But there are some that still look exactly the same as they did when alive. Another time, a patient was walking towards some nurses and smiled and said hello. The head nurse sent the others off to do various chores or pulled them aside to chat, so nobody was looking in that patient's direction. One of them wondered why, and it turned out that the patient had also died the day before. Apparently, it's not uncommon for spirits to walk down the hospital halls, not just at night, but during the day as well. They approach nurses to talk and apparently jump on their backs unaware. Hearing that and knowing that nurses continue to work so hard at an already difficult job made me respect them even more.
What a nice story.
Damn.
Yo, it reminds me of this one story that I used to hear everywhere, where it was late at night, doctor's coming off of his shift, right? That didn't do anything. Doctor's coming off of his shift, so he's going down the lift.
Yeah.
And there's there isn't supposed to be anybody in the hospital, but somebody came on the next floor, I think, but he didn't really pay any mind to it, and they started chatting. And I think it got to the point where he was just like, hey, because I think it was a long ride down, but...
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I hear that if you see somebody in the hospital, or like if you see anybody in the lifts that has like a red tag on their arm, you shouldn't talk to them because they're dead, and that's like a morgue tag. And the lady just smiled and she's like, "Oh, you mean like this one?"
She's like this one.
I got it in Coachella. Like this
LOL.
One.
Oh no.
LOL.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm scared, lol.
I feel like there's a lot of like scary stuff in the hospital too, because I heard this one story as well I have to go.
Turns out I don't like, because I'm a little. Okay, why is that even worse? Why is that even more scary?
Why are you scared? You shouldn't be scared.
Why are you scared?
But there's this one story of this, I guess they were, oh no, this isn't in a hospital, but this was in a university. And they were doing like a late night radio show, right? And they were the last people in the building. They're always scared of this one bathroom because at night, sometimes it was there, sometimes it was not there.
Mm.
And the career performing arts students like to fuck in there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No,
oh, my God.
Just imagine, just like a bathroom, one of the only bathrooms in the building. Like sometimes it there, sometimes it not there.
I would be fucking pissed. Like, what the fuck? Like, spirits, you could have done anything. Yeah. You could have made me like wet myself. But for when I need to go to the bathroom for other occasions, and sometimes it might not be there, the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of inconvenient. How rude of them, honestly.
I feel like a lot of ghosts here just make things inconvenient. Like, you know how we have like, you know, one of those delivery services like Uber Eats?
Mm-hmm.
Or
sometimes
like
people get
Lyft.
Like, yeah. Sometimes people just get, sometimes people get orders for things that, for people that don't exist, they get like sent to cemeteries and all that.
I would cry
real
if I
good
ever
stuff.
Got sent to that.
Yeah.
No.
It's like such a common thing that people, that they actually made a commercial based around it.
No. Yeah.
It's
fucking not.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I once accidentally sent an Uber Eats to an abandoned pier. So, and then he tried to call me and I was too socially anxious to pick up, so he just was sent to an abandoned pier and no one picked
up. I'm going to cry.
I'm
going to
wet myself. That sounds terrifying.
I'm just sorry.
Imagine just thinking someone's like playing the meanest prank on you, but in reality it's just some anxiety-ridden little girl who doesn't want to, who can't just like be like, I made a mistake.
I'm
an
just
anxiety ridden
there,
girl who's like, I'm a mistake.
I was too scared and sad. I hope he got that food and he got to eat it, so do you wanna hear about a scary story about an apartment?
Sure.
Just because, you know, none of us are living.
You can't tell real life stories about Jen and Alyssa.
No, shut up. Okay, so this is apartment with a history. And then this one, they don't like give them names. They're just like A and like K. Like,
Silent
they're just
Hill
okay.
4?
Yeah. Okay.
When we were in university, my friend A lived in an apartment in Setagaya. It was one of those so-called apartments with a history. Apparently, someone had committed suicide there. But he didn't believe in ghosts and the rent was cheap, so he gladly moved in. He said he heard strange noises at night after moving in, but they didn't frighten him. After living there for about a week, he returned home drunk one night and muttered, "I'm home." He heard a knock on the table, as though something was replying. The next day he said it again, and again there was a knock on the table in reply. Finding it fun, he asked if someone was there, and got another bang in response. According to him, nothing bad ever happened, and when he spoke, he got a knock in response, so he figured it was a good ghost. When he mentioned it to us at uni, a group of friends decided to go to visit his apartment. A asked, "Is anyone there?" And there was a bang on the table. Everyone was shocked, but nothing else happened, so they decided it had to be a protective household spirit. More and more people visited to experience the spirit, so A thought he'd made the right choice in choosing his apartment. One day, one of our female friends, Kay, heard the story and wanted to visit the apartment, which he happily agreed to. "I'm home," he said at the front door, as always, but this time there was no response. "Huh?" he wondered, but he ushered Kay inside and grabbed some beers. They sat at the table and he asked, "Is anyone here?" Suddenly, the glass table shattered and shards went everywhere. Kay screamed, but A was so confused he had no idea what was going on. The glass shards had cut Kay, and she was covered in blood. Then the room started to shake as though there was an earthquake, and everything fell from the shelves to the ground. A and Kay rushed from the room and called an ambulance to take Kay to the hospital. We later discovered that the woman renting the apartment before A had killed herself after her long-term boyfriend cheated on her. A was so scared that he couldn't return to the apartment and asked his parents to gather his things for him. He said he's never going to rent an apartment with history again.
Yeah.
Because when you said yeah. It was fine all the other times, I was like, but they were all men.
Yeah. Now I brought a girl, and that's what's up. Never bring girls to your haunted apartment.
It's okay. Just have two gaming monitors and a light up keyboard. They won't want to come in anyways.
Yep, I agree. That one is tried and true.
Ooh, sassy. But yeah, I kind of enjoy that because he's just like, it's like a nice ghost.
Yeah,
that's like nice ghost. It's cool.
She was like, oh, she's like, you're living where I used to live. We're married now.
We're married.
I don't
We're
like
married.
That.
Yeah. She's like,
God
we're married.
Damn. Okay. So do you want to hear? So sadly, the ones that are really long are the ones that are Japanese internet mysteries.
Oh, okay. You know
but
what?
Like,
I love them.
Long.
Let's do it.
Okay, they're long as in like, the ones I've been reading have been like 3 and 4 pages, but these are like 7 and 8 pages, so they're like 2.
Oh,
that's
so,
fair.
Okay,
that's not too long.
So, okay, yeah. here's 3 choices for you guys. There's one that's about a free house. There's one
it's free real estate.
Free real estate. One just called the mother murderer, and then another the criminal who plotted his crimes on 2chan. They're all on 2chan. So.
Oh, wait, do the last one.
These.
I want to hear the last one. That
you want to hear the last one? Okay.
Yeah, the criminal who planned it. Yes. Oh my gosh, wait.
Because, like, all of.
I
this
love
one,
shit like
this
that.
One kind of does. If you're probably going to want to do some research on this one just because, like, there's so much that goes on in here.
I got you.
Okay, so the criminal who plotted his crimes on 2chan.
For certain reasons, I have 50 kilograms of meat that I don't know what to do with. I'm not a big eater, so I'd like to get rid of it quickly. On August 2nd, 2017, an anonymous user posted a thread on 2chan titled, "Urgent, a way to dispose of 50 kilograms of meat today." It wasn't the strangest request ever seen on 2chan, although needing to get rid of 50 kilograms of meat so quickly soon brought out the jokesters. The corpse of a large dog, maybe? Human meat? Make it into steaks right away. Others offered more reasonable replies, telling the user he should divide the meat and freeze it. "My freezer is already full," the original poster replied, which led to another slew of 2chan-esque replies. "Put it into drums and drop it into the ocean. First, make sure you learn how to cut it at the joints. Cook it up for the cops and it'll be gone in no time. Pickle it. If you're not gonna eat it, just throw it out." Yet this led to another problem. "The problem is, where can I throw it out? I really don't want other people to know about it, you know?" Someone with 50 kilograms of meat that they needed to get rid of within a day without other people knowing about it. Naturally, people were suspicious, but still taking the situation as a joke. It was 2chan, after all. "It's a dead body. Did you peel off the skin? Did you drain the blood? Divide it, then bless the homeless with it. Seriously, cut it up and dispose of it in park bins. The Inokashira park killer did the same thing, and they still haven't been caught." The original poster returned with yet another problem, however. "Can an amateur cut up a body? I've already drained the blood." This prompted another flood of replies by users who were overjoyed to share their expertise. "Cut it up and then melt it in acid. Can you even melt human bodies? It seems like that would smell." There was a story just like this on the occult boards once. "If you call the police, they'll take it for you. For the time being, you should slowly and carefully boil it. Let it simmer. You should take it up to the mountains where there are lots of trees and then chuck some gasoline on it and light it all up, baby. By this point, users had mostly agreed that the original poster was talking about a human body, and although no one took it seriously, they jumped in with all the best and most commonly known methods for disposing of a corpse. No one believed it was real, so why not have some fun with it? Then the original poster returned yet again. I can melt it, but won't that smell? I live in a residential area, so... For each solution 2chan came up with, it seemed the original poster had yet another problem. They had a lot of meat to get rid of. Their freezer was full. They lived in a residential area, so they were worried about the smell. They were also worried about being able to cut the meat up as well. 2chan users then came forth with some new ideas. Honestly, if you were a fisherman, you'd be able to get rid of it no problem. Cleaning up all that hair is pretty difficult. Mince it, then toss it in the ocean for the fish. Does hair even entirely dissolve in acid? Caustic soda. If you absolutely cannot deal with it at home, take the fingers, teeth, and face and then dump it in the ocean. A cleaning company will deal with it for you. They took away my 38-kilogram dog and burnt it for me. Have a friend at a pig farm take care of it for you. After receiving a wealth of options to deal with his meat problem, the original poster returned one last time. Okay, I got it. I'll cut it up and dissolve it bit by bit. Then I'll probably bury the difficult parts in the mountains. You can let this thread die now. Yet the thread didn't die, and other users continued sharing their ideas, getting sillier and sillier by the minute. Turn it into roasted pork fillet. Make the body transparent. Kitty litter. Freeze it, then slowly get rid of it over time. The problem is the teeth and bones. This is probably fake, but the police will come see you for real, you know. And just like that, not even 20 minutes after the thread was first posted, the replies petered out and it died, lost in the mass of threads posted on 2chan each and every day. Yet, something was about to happen in real life that would remind users of the thread and make them see it in a whole new light. On October 31st of the same year, Shidaishi Takahiro was arrested in Zama City, Kanagawa Prefecture. Shidaishi lived in a residential apartment complex, and police found 9 bodies hidden across various freezers and storage boxes in his house. The case was so bizarre it even garnered international attention. Shidaishi reportedly used Twitter to advertise that he was looking for people who were planning on killing themselves so he could watch, or if possible, assist them. It took the efforts of the brother of his final victim to bring the killer to justice, and it was through the brother's investigative efforts to find his missing sister that police were able to finally close in on Shidaishi. As soon as detailed on the man's crime hit the public, 2chan users suddenly remembered that post back in August, asking about how to dispose of large quantities of meat. Had Shidaishi posted about his crimes on 2chan before anyone even knew he was committing them? Looking closer at it, the details scarily matched up. Shidaishi's victims were predominantly young women, and according to the statistics of the Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare, the average Japanese woman in her early 20s weighs nearly 52 kilograms, the same amount of weight this 2chan user was looking to get rid of. Suggestions in the thread had included cutting the meat up and storing it in freezers or storage containers, just like Shidaishi had. And as the original poster in that thread stated, "My freezer is already full." Shidaishi reportedly also disposed of body parts in the trash, another suggestion that appeared frequently in the thread. But that wasn't what really caught people's attention. After all, you hear about this sort of thing all the time, and it's a common trope in crime fiction as well. What caught people's attention was the revelation that several of his victims had been buried in kitty litter. One of the suggestions in the thread was, if you remember from earlier, kitty litter. Not exactly the most common way to try to hide a body, and even in that thread, it was likely nothing more than a joke. So when people heard that several bodies had been hidden in kitty litter on top of everything else, it got them thinking. It also got them digging. It didn't take 2chan users long to dig up another thread from September 6th, a little over a month after the first one. This one was titled, "Tell Me How to Dispose of a Dead Body." First off, it's not like I've killed anyone, I'm just asking in case, so don't report me. But is there any way to get rid of a body that absolutely won't get me caught? Please tell me. At any rate, there's no blood coming out of the body, and that's probably due to the drugs. Please respond as soon as possible. As with the first thread, the joke replies immediately started coming in. Fling it towards the sun. Burn it. Make it invisible. Eat it. Chat with a police officer. Turn yourself in. One of the suggestions, however, proposed that having the case ruled as a suicide would ultimately get rid of most of the problems, but remarked that it was also terribly difficult to successfully pull off. Whatever the case is, suicide is the most difficult way to deal with a dead body. To put it another way, if you can get this cleared, it's not an exaggeration to say that it will clear up 90% of the problems for you. The original poster replied to this with, "Ah, I thought so too. I'll do my best." As mentioned earlier, Shidaishi reportedly posted on social media that he was looking for people who wanted to kill themselves so he could watch or assist. He replied to many of them with, "Let's die together," insinuating that both parties would commit the act when he had no intention of dying himself. For him, the joy was in the killing. Shidaishi reportedly met his first victim somewhere around August 23rd, his second around August 28th, and the third on August 30th. By the time the second thread had been posted, he had already killed three victims. He stole money from all three and strangled them with a rope around the neck, a trademark he would use for all nine of his killings. He bought tools before he started the crime spree to help dispose of the bodies, and police discovered searches on his phone for how to cut up bodies. Even scarier, one of the replies to the second thread mentioned putting the bodies in a drum, as was also suggested in the first, and the original poster replied, "I already did that the first three times." By this time, Shidaishi had killed exactly three victims. The second thread petered out a few hours later when some users accused the poster of trolling, and he accused them of sucking the fun out of the post. And being that the threads are anonymous, there's no way to check whether Shidaishi actually posted either of them, and he has never confessed to posting them either. Yet, the coincidences are numerous, and some of the finer details match up a little too precisely with Shidaishi's real-life crimes. The timing, the number of victims, the methods of disposing of the bodies, the kitty litter, the searches on his phone, together it all seemed too much to be nothing more than a coincidence. Did Shidaishi really talk about his crimes and seek advice on 2chan before the police caught up with him? We may never know, but either way, it's undoubtedly creepy and has since gone down as one of 2chan's most terrifying, potentially real mysteries.
You know, he never confessed to any of this. Everyone's like, there's just a lot of coincidences, but the kitty litter part is just like really, really, really.
There's just a lot of coinky dinky. It's fine. He's not the killer.
Right.
So that's, I think that's the longest one.
That's a pretty wild
one,
serial case. But that serial killer case, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's just, there's like a bunch of stuff with just that singular case though. Cause like,
I'm just thinking about, I recently watched this true crime thing where, this guy found out that his wife was cheating on him, and he like confronted her and the neighbor about it. In the end, she ended up killing his kids. But he like posted like the entire thing on Reddit, like asking for like advice on how to like handle the situation with his like wife like cheating on him, whatever. And it was like at the point where it was like at the end, the news story came out about the woman killing her kids, and like so many of the similarities matched up that everyone on Reddit was like, wait, you don't think it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is like, yeah, you know, we assume that everyone on, you know, forums and stuff are just normal people, which is true. Most of them are.
Yeah.
But it also does not bar murderers and potential murderers from being on these forums. Like, they occupy the same spaces, you know?
Yeah.
There's not, like, a separate, like, murderers-only thread, you know?
Well, it's called the Dark Web.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. But, yeah, it's... That's just strange.
Yeah.
That's and just odd.
And eventually the guy who did originally post the thing on Reddit was like, yeah, I'm the guy on the news. My wife actually did kill my two kids.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That's always sad. Yeah.
It's, yeah, super sad.
Does Julie know this story?
I feel like I might have heard about it, but I don't know the details of it, no.
Yeah, like I'm sure if you like hear it, like you'll remember.
Yeah, it's basically he found out that his wife was cheating on him with his best friend, With his next door neighbor or something? Yeah, with his next door neighbor. And he confronted the wife about it. Oh, he has two kids, by the way. He confronted the wife about it, but the wife was just like, if you divorce me, I'm legit gonna kill our two kids.
Cool.
Yeah.
Or something like that. She threatened to ruin your life and all that.
But like he like even went to like suggested marriage counseling. He was like really trying to make it work because he didn't want to like put his kids through that. Because even his wife was like, if you divorce me, this will fuck up our kids and it'll be your fault.
Oh yeah. I think he was like, I'll do everything in my power to like take the kids away from you or something like that.
Everyone was like, you're such a good guy, but seriously, like divorce her and just like get custody of the kids. It'll be easy at this point.
God.
And then like I think it was like literally like the day after like they went for the custody hearing or whatever she had them for like one more day or something, she like killed them and then tried to kill herself, failed, called the cops and was like, I killed my two kids and tried to kill myself. Like there's an audio recording of it, like and she just sounds so like monotone, like she knows what she fucking did and she doesn't care.
Well, I hope she rots in hell.
I hope she stays alive and has to live with that.
Because he decided, he's just like, I'm going to divorce you. And then she just goes like, okay, I'm going to kill our kids. Like, what the fuck?
No, that's not cool. But also, that's not what a normal, a well-adjusted person, that's not their response to that. I'm going to side with the sociopath part on that, or just psychopath in general. Things you learn. We're all, you know what, we're sharing information back and forth. I teach you something, you teach me something. You know, it's just like, it's education.
I tell you how to dispose of a dead body. You reply to my thread on 2chan on how I can
dispose of 52 kilograms of meat.
You tell me kitty litter stories. And I tell you acid, even though live in a residential area.
But also, I think now is a great time to take a break.
I think so too.
Commercial break.
Yeah, commercial break before we get back to season 6, episode 3. 5. Episode 5, episode sorry. Five.
Commercial break.
Okay, who's going to do the commercial reading this time?
We have like two
sponsors right now.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. So, the latest sponsor is actually from Jeff Bezos himself.
Thanks.
I like how we're so on the same page.
I know. I'm not gonna lie, I sat here and I was like, wait, we have sponsors for real? That's sick. Yeah. When did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it actually has been that long since we last talked. Like I fully believed you guys. And I was like,
offline TV podcast can get sponsors. I don't see why we can't.
Exactly. Right. If I just show up in Jeff Bezos' home and be like, sponsor me, bitch, like, what'll he do? Call the cops?
If I show up in Jeff Bezos' home, talking to him is the last thing I'm gonna
do.
You're gonna rub his bald head. That's all you wanna do.
No, I'm gonna steal all his shit.
Oh, that too.
And sell it on Amazon. Just to piss him off.
I'm gonna steal everything and replace it with bees.
Yeah.
Just bees.
Bees in your fridge, bees in your septic system, bees so when you flush the toilet, they come up instead of water. Fuck you, Jeff Bezos.
That would be mean to the bees, honestly.
You know what? You're right. They don't want to be there.
Rich of bees everywhere. What are you guys doing for Halloween, though?
We don't celebrate Halloween here.
Okay, but what are you doing inside your bedroom for Halloween?
Crying. I want to see if I can get a cover up in, like, 6 days.
Oh my god, girl. I thought about that 3 days ago and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
I'm gonna do it.
You're a masochist.
Decoration. I'm fucking doing it.
You're a masochist.
You're gonna what?
Do it. Do it.
I'm gonna use it.
Bitter chocolate decoration. Okay, so that's why you asked me.
Do it, girl. Do it.
Yeah. Let me know if you figure out those last two lines. I've been like seriously like going back to them being like, fuck, it's just this last part.
Honestly, I feel like I've become so lazy during this pandemic that I've, like, truly disassociated into a new human being.
Aren't you just a different stream right now, Julie?
Am I on a stream right now?
No, aren't you a Twitch streamer now?
Like, once a week, maybe. It's mostly just to get gacha money, let's be honest.
I mean, like, honestly, like, I literally went to my Steam Labs and I signed out of YouTube and signed into Twitch. And I'm like, you know what? We gotta do this, y'all.
We gotta get some gacha money. Get these gacha pulls, live stream, man.
Live stream, watch me grind this Miku event. For Halloween, my former manager at Starbucks, her birthday's on Halloween. Aww. And so since we're both Starbucks bitches,
I thought you were gonna say Starbuds. That was like, that's so
we're both
cute.
Starbuds.
That's so
Starbucks
cute.
Bitches. I'm gonna probably go to her apartment. We're just gonna chill on our couch and watch Hocus Pocus and Halloween Town and all that fun stuff.
That's cute.
You're not gonna summon a demon? God, so low
level.
No,
I'm
level.
Saving that for us.
I'm so honored. I'm so honored. I'm kind of into maybe summoning a demon this Halloween.
I don't know. I want to play that Phasmophobia.
Oh my God.
I feel like we can summon a real demon. I honestly have no idea what you do in that game. I think you go ghost hunting, maybe.
Yeah. You go ghost hunting, but honestly, I looked up all the rules and I was like, wow, this is a lot of rules for me to remember.
Oh, no, it's okay. That's why we just play it and we wing it.
Yep. God damn it. Agreed. Also,
we don't even have to record it, us playing it. I just want to play it together.
Play it. And we're back from commercial break.
Oh, my God.
God knows what happened there.
Did you guys like our sponsorship from NordVPN?
Oh, my gosh.
Enter Yonaka Tea Time for a free 1 week trial.
I mean, shout out to NordVPN. No, that doesn't exist.
I want
luck.
Them to try.
No, you want them to. Okay. Y'all go ahead and try.
See if it works.
See if it works.
See if it works.
We're going to jail.
A week and a half this episode comes out.
We're all going to jail. Also, just to get back on that train of weird places in Japan. Let's talk about Monami Park, which is,
I don't know that.
This is in Hokkaido. This is in Minami Ward, Sapporo, Hokkaido Prefecture.
As the Meiji era was coming to an end, there was a man named Wakatsuki Temikichi who ran a store in Susukino, Sapporo, selling kimono fabrics. In order to gather more stock for his store, he took a trip all the way to Tokyo, half a country away. While there, he remembered the Yoshiwara red light district and went for a visit. There, he procured himself a courtesan and took her back to Sapporo with him. But the courtesan was in love with a man in Tokyo and did not wish to be in Sapporo any longer. After 3 months of confinement, she told Temikichi her wish to leave. Temikichi responded by building a tower and locking the courtesan inside. And each day inside was like a living hell for the young woman. She cried and screamed, but not even the servants could hear her. One night, however, the courtesan finally escaped the tower. She ran all the way to the Toyohira River, several kilometers away, and stood upon a cliff facing the deep, dark abyss below. With no options left, she jumped. Her body was later found holding the courtesan's umbrella and wearing her tall wooden clogs. Thereafter, the cliff the courtesan threw herself from came to be known as Courtesan's Abyss. In 1949, Monami Park was established. The waters of the Toyohira River used to be much higher than they are now, but you can still visit the very same cliff the courtesan was said to have jumped from inside the park. Not only that, but the rumors persist over 100 years later. The courtesan's spirit continues to linger in the area, unable to move on because of the terrible circumstances leading up to her death. People claim to feel themselves being tugged to the cliff's edge when walking by, or they're suddenly overcome with a desire to jump over the edge themselves. But the courtesan isn't the only spirit that lingers in the area. In the early 2000s, a police officer from Hokkaido Prefectural Police Department was wrapped up in a scandal involving drugs, corruption, and illegal firing of a weapon. His body was found hanging in the male toilets not too far from the courtesan's abyss. In a separate incident, a police officer at the end of his shift was returning to the main station when he instead dropped by the Koban, or police box, at Monami Park instead. There, he shot himself. The reason why remains unknown. What could drive two different police officers at different times to kill themselves in the same area? The curse of the courtesan, or is simply an unlucky coincidence? Other rumors exist about the park as well. People claim to hear the voice of a crying baby coming from the public toilets where the police officer killed himself, even though no one is inside. Bodies are often found drowned in the Toyohira River, particularly in the area known as the Courtesan's Abyss, the deepest and most dangerous part. Other ghosts supposedly appear in the area as well, perhaps drawn to the spiritual energy first created when the courtesan threw herself to death all those years ago.
you know, Japanese ghosts love water and suicides. And there you go.
It's very poetic.
Dang.
Thank you for sharing.
So does Ophelia.
Yeah.
Did she die suicide? Was she face down? Is that, was she, is that?
I can't remember. I didn't
Ophelia,
take Shakespeare.
I don't know. I think Hamlet? So. I think she did throw herself in the water. I don't know yeah. for sure. Don't quote me on that.
She was a sad bitch.
she really was a sad bitch. And you know what? We stan a sad bitch.
Okay, if I got that right somehow, like someone fact checks that, like I'm gonna be so happy. Like fuck yeah, Shakespearean knowledge somehow in my brain.
So okay, this one is a bit of a mystery.
In what sense?
In the sense,
like, are you gonna
that,
make us guess the answer?
No. This one's a bit of a mystery in that people have not really agreed upon what the message means.
So
this one's the Young Lady's Prayer. This is in the Miyagi Prefecture, Nishinohama.
In a forest in Miyagi Prefecture, there stands a tree. Carved into the trunk of that tree are the final words of a young woman who took her own life. They say that anyone who reads the Young Lady's Prayer will be cursed to die as well. Undeterred, a young man set out to find the tree. The first time, he was unsuccessful. There are a lot of trees in the forest after all, and the sheer cliffs make the area dangerous to explore. But the second time, Lady Luck shined upon him. He found the Young Lady's Prayer. Cigarette butts littered the ground. It was an unwritten rule that instead of leaving incense, you were to leave smokes as gifts for the young lady's spirit. The young man didn't smoke and struggled to light the cigarette, but he persevered. He didn't want to upset her after all. The words stood before him. The girl carved out a large section of the trunk before carving her final message to the world. They were a strange mix of Chinese characters and katakana, a script generally used for writing foreign words. Trying to read the combination was both off-putting and difficult. Not only that, the words themselves were puzzling. What was the girl trying to say? The young man left his offerings to the girl and got up to leave. He was satisfied that he finally found the tree and was able to read her final message firsthand. But as he turned around to go home, he felt something brush the back of his head, like a hand running across his hair. No, it wasn't a touch. It was more like something grabbing him, tugging on his hair. He turned back. There was nobody else there but him. In 1967, a female high school student was found hanging from a tree in Miyagi Prefecture with a mysterious message carved into its bark. At this time, I have realized my limit. I have lost all meaning to exist with nature. Holding death in my hands, I will overcome this. Showa Year 42, Eldest Son. What the girl was trying to convey with her final words remains a mystery. Why did she sign it with Chinese characters, her eldest son? Why did she use a combination of Chinese characters and katakana, making the words extremely difficult to read? It's possible, of course, that she carved her message in katakana rather than the standard hiragana script because hiragana is curved and thus more difficult to carve. But the end result was foreign and off-putting nevertheless. People have spent years trying to find the hidden meaning behind the final words. Some have suggested the girl didn't carve the message at all. The message is unrelated, and that just happened to be on the tree she picked. Others said that the characters used for eldest son at the end of the message were actually meant to signify her boyfriend. In reality, she was so heartbroken by boy troubles that she took her own life. The true answer is that we'll never know. All we have are the remains of a message that was carved over 50 years ago, but that won't keep people from speculating on what really happened. One of the rules for visiting Young Lady's Prayer, if you can find the tree, is to leave cigarettes as an offering. Nobody knows how this rule came about, but over the years it became the accepted thing to do. To this day, mountains of cigarette butts surround the remains of the tree the young lady hung herself from. The original tree was at some point cut down, and perhaps unsurprisingly, the stump is now little more than burnt remains, likely from a rogue cigarette butt that wasn't put out. The carved message remains, however. The section of the tree was cut down, and now lies a few meters away on the ground, deteriorating, but still legible over 50 years later. Over the years, a legend sprung up that anyone who reads the Young Lady's Prayer would be cursed to die as well. Considering pictures of the tree and its message are all over the internet, that seems highly unlikely. But it's possible this legend grew out of another real-life tragedy. A female announcer from the Miyagi Prefecture visited the site to film a report for local TV, but on the way back, she was involved in an accident with a truck and died. Ever since that incident, visits to the tree decreased dramatically, but its legend continued to grow. It's difficult to say how much longer the tree will be around. The original stump has already been burnt to the ground thanks to the carelessness of those who visit it, and it's possible that if people aren't too careful in the future, the young lady's prayer may be next to go.
So yeah, it's interesting, mainly because it's like, what was she meaning? Did she just happen to choose this tree? Like, but yeah.
I don't know why, I just personally refuse to believe that she chose a random tree.
Yeah, it would be really weird, right?
Because I feel like, dang, if I was gonna die, whatever, I wouldn't choose something that, you know, has something already on it, but I don't know, that's just me.
True. Or maybe she never even knew it was there to begin with, but yeah, I think she wrote that. But yeah, that apparently still exists. I don't recommend going to it, but it exists out there. And like, it's just so weird. Japan has so many of these types of things. Like, I don't know if America really does this, like in the West, like,
I don't think so.
We don't really like,
nothing that I can think of.
Like, I don't know. You can find some eerie things in the woods, but it's like,
that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, all of America's built on an Indian burial ground, so like, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's like fucking true. Why do you think everything's happening right now?
I know, right? But yeah, just some strange things. Some strange things that go on, that continue. So, do you want to hear a sad one or a weird one?
Let's do a weird one.
Let's do a weird one. I don't want a sad one.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, based upon history, just a true sad story. This one is, like, really super short.
Chapter one. Anthony's mom giving birth.
No!
There's your sad story.
No! Okay, that's sad.
Every day I wake up and God has cursed you all with giving me more internet.
What is that? That one where it's Adam Driver and he's like, every day I wake up, and he like hits
And then it's just like, and the text is edited out.
Yep. I'm like, that's me.
Sobbing.
It's me. God,
that was an awful movie. So why did they do
I've still never seen it. I'm sorry.
I don't want to see it because it's with him and Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johannesburg.
Shut up. Okay, so this one's
Miku,
really...
Hey, Miku, it's me, Scarlett.
Shut up.
Follow your dreams and anything can come true.
Bacon
I don't know what the fuck
to... dog.
Bacon wrapped dog. No. This one's really short, but I don't know. Okay. Mirrors scare me. Mirrors just freak me out.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is extremely short. So...
Hey, is my mole on the right or the left side of my face? My colleague M approached me during work. Facing you? On the right. Facing me on the right, so that means my left. So for my face in the mirror, it's on the right, right? Yeah, I guess. Everybody else was out, so we were the only two in the office. Hey, are you listening? How do you really know the face you're looking at in the mirror is your own? Em started to raise her voice. She seemed to be getting more and more unstable. I looked at her without saying a word. I always thought it was my face, but when we were five, my twin sister died in an accident. Her mole was on the other side. What on earth was she saying? She motioned for me to come closer. See, look! I got up and she opened her locker. She stood in front of it, facing the mirror side. I looked over her shoulder and saw an unknown woman smiling back at us.
I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
That's
I don't like mirrors. Mirrors are bad.
I don't like
hot
mirrors
take,
either.
Mirrors are bad. Here's
there
back.
Was a there was a ritual that I think I know more rituals than scary stories, but I could go on and on, but
there's
this ritual that basically decoupled you from your reflection in the mirror.
No thanks.
Yeah, so if you don't see your reflection in the mirror, that means it worked. But also they were just like, be wary because you don't know if you're the true self or if the mirror is actually the real person.
Did we talk about this last time, Anthong? I feel like we did because like you face two mirrors and you're like between them or something.
Yes. Yeah, and, I think we did.
It was, but I think it wasn't actually talking about the ritual. It was like just something like a story about it. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like mirrors. They're bad. Mirror bad.
Black mirror.
Black mirror bad. TM.
Stop
mirror
watching
bad.
It.
Mirror.
Is it good?
Bad. I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Oh, no. There's an episode where a guy fucks a pig.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the first one?
You want to hear about pregnancy?
No.
True
crime. Never,
crimes.
Ever.
Oh, pregnancy,
yes.
True crime.
wait. True crime pregnancies. Yeah.
Pregnancy, okay, true crime. That's true crime pregnancy. Fetus murders fetus. No. Fetus on fetus crimes.
Fetus fight. Fetus fight.
Shut
fetus
up. Fight. So this is on a website that I've honestly never heard of before, but somehow came across, God knows why, called hidingfromjapaneseghost.com.
I love that.
Oh.
I love that for you.
They even have, like, literally a picture of the place, but strange. And I can kind of vouch for this case as, like, a true crime one because I did read it in another article, and I was like, huh, okay, they weren't lying. So, okay, this one is pregnant ripper murder.
Okay.
So, okay. Japan is a relatively peaceful society as modesty, politeness, and compliance are highly valued traits throughout the generations. However, when a crime is committed, particularly murder, tensions rise due to the heinous nature and actions brought about by hatred and jealousy. One such case...
Wait, hold on. Julie, really quick.
Yeah?
Why does this remind me weirdly of, like, that ending of School Days, was it? I'm a little scared.
No, it's good. This is good.
Okay.
So, you're okay. One such case of deliberate cruelty is the Nagoya Pregnant Ripper case, which remains unsolved to this day. And I'm not going to give... They give, like, literally the address. I'm not going to give it to you. Okay. None of you are going out there. Okay, aww. So... I'm sorry. I'm sorry you can't go to the home of a murder. A 27-year-old heavily pregnant woman was caught off guard in her home when an intruder broke in through the front door. After a short struggle, the intruder wrapped an electric cord around the woman's neck, suffocating her. The intruder cut a vertical 38-centimeter slit in the belly of the victim before removing the live baby and cutting the umbilical cord. The intruder quickly...
I fucking knew this is what was going to happen.
Yep. And the intruder quickly fled after removing cash from the woman's purse. Hours later, the husband returned home to find the corpse of his wife and a conscious baby. When using a towel to wipe the residue from the baby's body, the husband realized something had been crammed into the cavity of the woman's stomach. A quick check revealed the intruder had forced a phone and car keys into the hole where the baby had been.
Oh my god, wait,
oh my
that's
god.
So
it gets weirder. Like, strangely weirder.
Okay.
They kind of list points of interest in this.
There's a lot.
Yeah, okay. So, the first one is that the police originally suspected the husband due to the number of reasons. His wife was 13 days past the birth date, or the due date. But the husband ignored calls from her throughout the day. Upon arriving back to the apartment, the husband didn't alert the authorities when he discovered the door was open. Okay. Before checking on his wife, the husband changed from his work suit into casual clothing, despite being past the baby's due date. I don't get that part. Still weird. Still weird that he was like, I'm going to go change.
Right.
The door was open. I'm going to go change, but not notice that my wife is dead. When commemorating his wife's death, The husband poured a glass of wine and announced dramatically, "Let us pour wine, as my wife liked it." Observers stated his actions caused discomfort as they were similar to a professional actor, meaning he could have faked mourning of his wife.
Yeah.
They're all just kind of strange. I don't know, like, if they're really incriminating, you know, be like, he did it.
You know what that reminds me of, though? Mm. That reminds me of another murder. I watched this beauty blogger. She does her makeup and talks about a true crime case. Cool. And there's this one, I can't remember the entire thing, like, word for word, but basically it ended with someone dying and everyone being really fucking weird about it. And, like, kind of, like, they're like, well, if order for this to happen, he would have had to, like, seen the body. Like, coming in, like, the person literally, yeah, like, would have had to seen the body, but instead they, like, showered and stuff, yeah, and waited to report
it. It's just suspicious as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this, it's super weird because partly the fact that she was 13 days past her due date and, yeah, this person came in, basically delivered the baby. The baby survived. Yeah. The baby was alive. The baby was alive. Yeah. I don't know if it survived, but yeah, okay. The baby, I think the baby did survive. But like,
I guess babies have rights
weird,
now.
Weird, right? And if the guy was literally just like going around looking for pregnant women to perform baby a C-section on. I was going to call it baby surgery.
Surgery baby, or you're surgery. Just going to say baby surgery.
Baby surgery. This is my baby surgery. Yes.
Going to go get a baby surgery.
Good, birth. Good. That's my new book, Baby Surgery.
Yes, baby surgery.
Out in stores soon, guys. Yeah.
We talked about it two
remember?
Episodes ago.
We talked,
yeah,
about this in
true,
the fifth
episode. That's true. That's true. Yeah. But it's just, it's super weird. It's super weird.
Yeah.
But also, okay, these are some weird, like, extra points. So, okay, the husband had a strong alibi for the time of the murder. So that's why they threw him out of the investigation. So, okay. The husband
I think
and
that's
wife,
why they threw the other people out of the investigation, the one I was watching, too. There are a lot of parallels with this.
It's just
this
a
so
lot
cool.
of... Well, that's the thing. It's like, because it's like, it's all just strange.
Yeah.
So, okay, the husband and wife were part of Amway, which is a pyramid scheme. Which is just interesting. Also, a short
I
male...
I think that's the scariest part
that's
of
the
this
scariest
entire
part.
Thing.
They were part of Amway, guys. Scheme. This is why you don't join pyramid schemes or MLMs.
Right.
Sure,
yeah.
So, also, there was a short male in salaryman clothing that had visited neighbors earlier in the day to ask if the husband was home. Which is weird, right? Okay, like, I get it. Yeah. Salaryman, maybe he's like, hey,
yeah,
husband, like, I'm his friend. You
I
know,
need
hey,
to,
is
like,
he home?
Talk to him or whatever.
Yeah, and one of the housewives said he was kind of creepy, which, you know, can't take that to court, but duly noted. Also, due to the baby's survival, the intruder would have had to slice the woman's abdomen and remove the child within minutes of her death. So people have speculated the intruder may have been a psychopath or had no remorse as he slit. You know, it was very cleanly cut. The intruder...
Sounds like something you'd have to be experienced to do as
right?
well.
Right? Yeah, so that's B. That's They're like, the intruder too. May have been in the medical field.
Yeah.
Because he knew about human anatomy so well. Or C, the intruder may have been a high school student due to the evidence in regards to the shoe size. Yeah,
what?
The murder was similar to another incident 28 years before, though, when several high school girls were murdered before having their stomach slit open and underwear crammed inside. There's a lot.
Okay,
there's just a lot.
That just does not sound like
yeah.
the
so,
one.
But yeah, the shoe size, I guess he had little feet. He had little feet.
People can have little feet.
They can have little bitty bitty feet.
Yeah.
For their baby
foot,
surgery.
Land before time.
Yeah. But like, the entire thing is just insane.
Yeah. That's a lot.
I'm like losing my goddamn
mind. It's super strange. It was never figured out. This was in the 80s. It was a wild time. there you go. It was the 80s.
It was the 80s. That shit happened.
Also, so, okay, this is... Thing is, when I went into the true crime, I kind of went down some rabbit holes. Okay. And like,
you want? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
You want to know why all this like weird shit with people breaking in happened in the 80s? It's because back then nobody locked their fucking door.
I mean,
like, people
it's true.
Could just walk in. Like, my mom, I remember her telling me, like, when she was younger, like, they would just, like, never lock their doors because they had, like, nothing to worry about. And now it's like, well, it's 2020, so, like.
And that's why we have locks on doors.
Yeah.
The pregnant
murders
ripper.
Happening.
Yeah, the pregnant ripper.
I mean, people still get in, but I feel like way back then, it just those kinds of, like,
there was that,
murders,
there
like,
was that murderer
happened.
That literally, they, like, they called him some sort of vampire because he would only come into houses. He would only murder people whose doors were unlocked. If they were locked, he'd just walk away. You're like, eh.
Mm.
He
I
thought
mean,
it was,
yeah.
like, a sign. Like, if it was unlocked, it was a sign that he had to kill them.
Yeah.
And that's why I locked my doors.
I don't... This is gonna, like... I'm not gonna tell this because I don't want to freak people out with this. Because I don't know... I don't know if this guy's been caught, but it was an actual, like, thing happening for a while. I don't know if it was necessarily in my state, but there was, like, someone murdering women in their homes, like, but that, like, fell asleep with, like, the TV on in the living room. Like, specifically, like, falling asleep with, like, the living room light on, like,
no.
watching TV. Like, yeah, in their living room. He would see them, and he would
no.
break in and kill them.
No.
Yeah, it was
no.
very specific, and
no.
I know a lot of people, like, still fucking do that, so it's,
what,
like...
What? Where was that?
I don't remember the place.
Convenient.
Because my mom was the one that told me.
Oh my god. Oh my
yeah.
god, Anthong mom. That's terrifying.
Right?
Thanks. I'll remember that. Thanks. Okay, cool. Yeah. yeah.
So
maybe now is not
the
time to bring
Said
up
not a murderer.
One of the worst things I've ever read. And I've
oh,
heard
no.
a lot of true crime. And somehow oh, this no. one truly took the cake. And I was like...
This one that you're about to read?
Okay, I may have to summarize some of it because this is actually an article about an update to the story.
Fuck. It's not even done.
Okay, so this was on Gizmodo.
Okay.
So Japan's notorious Boy A killer now has a creepy vanity website. So, okay, so it was called The Grisliest Murder in Memory of Japan. In 1997, a 14-year-old Kobe boy murdered 11-year-old Jun Hase and left his victim's sawed-off head on the gate of the school with a message taunting the police stuffed in his mouth.
No.
This was the worst, and it like somehow only gets worse because like if it had stopped at the murder, I just feel like this is it's just fucked up. So okay, the killer
okay.
called himself like he so this he was 14. He called himself Saito Saka Sakakibara, a combination mm-hmm. of symbols meaning apostle, sake, devil, and rose. And he sent a gleeful follow-up missive about his criminal activities to the local media. The New York Times reported at the time. So okay, this was the translation. I can relieve mm-hmm. myself of hatred and feel at peace only when I'm killing someone, the killer said in a letter sent out to a local newspaper. I can ease my own pain only by seeing others in pain. The police
what
said
the
they
fuck?
Were yeah. The police said they were confident that the killer had written the letter because it included details not disclosed publicly. The writer also warned that if anything frustrates me again, I'll destroy 3 vegetables a week. Apparently a reference to children. He considered children vegetables.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah.
So after a schoolgirl was beaten to death nearby earlier this year and another attacked and badly injured, the authorities conducted their investigation on theory that a serial killer might be on the loose.
Shit.
So yeah.
Yeah, this was the middle school or high
yeah.
school dude who was
14,
killing
14 years
yeah.
old. They
yeah, 14 yeah, years old.
They called him Boy A. It was a sensational trial. But the thing is that he only went to a medical juvenile reformatory and then was released on probation in 2004 and then full freedom in 2005. When he turned.
Yeah, and nobody knows his name. It's Boy A. He's like absolutely free.
Yeah, but it gets somehow worse because he decided to write an autobiography.
No.
A tell all. He released, he was like, hey, guys. Okay, so in June of this year, Sakakibara reemerged in the Japanese press with the release of his tell-all biography, autobiography. This article is from 2015. And in it, basically, he like, you know, it's his like, ooh, tell-all, let me tell you everything about it. Which, if you know how autobiographies work, he gets all the money. He tried going around and being like, hey, who wants to publish the book? Until finally one publisher was like, yeah, totally, we're gonna do this. And like, we know it's like horrible, but like, you just never, they said, we have never had the opportunity to read the personal account of a juvenile criminal at this level. Although I understand this book will receive a great deal of criticism, I believe that this book details events that speak to the issues of juvenile crime accountability still relevant today. No, bro.
No. Sorry, Chief. Mm-mm. That ain't it.
Mm-mm. No. And obviously, the family of the kid. Sued.
Is like, how fucking dare you publish this?
Yeah, they're like, don't do it. Don't do it. He was 32 at the time. He also added some new details in the book of worse things that he did to the child.
Yeah.
Stop. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
And so, yeah, they were like, this is awful.
Did he send it to the families of the victims?
Yes. He sent copies to them with a little apology inside. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sorry. I killed your family member. Mm-hmm. Bitch. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
That is so.
Yeah. Personal note: apology attached to a copy of the book to families of his victims.
No.
Yeah. And predictably, it was a bestseller. It was a bestseller in Japan, and he raked in profits.
That's sick.
But
is
you know what?
Yet?
But the thing is that some reports claimed he would use at least part of the money to pay restitution to the families, though there's no backing to those claims.
Yeah.
But here's the update in 2015. His memoir wasn't enough, because he still got something to say. And he decided to make a vanity website.
I remember this.
We assume he made himself. the site, and he puts like his, you know, stupid little name, former Boy A's official homepage.
That's sick.
Yeah, there's no confirmation that the website is the work of him, but the weekly magazine Shukan Bunshun said Thursday it received a letter from him on August 31st detailing how he came to release the memoir. The letter went on to say he had also set up a homepage and gave the URL. Yeah. And of course, they were like, we're not giving you the URL. We're not giving anyone the URL because guess what? Get fucked.
Yeah.
And he's also just not on social media. So like, you know, this would be the only way to get to know him. And apparently he has like a gallery section that shows nude photos of a man wearing a mask, which you assume is him.
What?
Assume it's him. No. Also, he has a gallery just of his art. You know, his photos, drawings.
This is some
drawings of slugs.
Fucking Bundy shit.
Yeah. It lacks any apology or expression of remorse. Pretty much. He just wants to engage people, and the website offers an email address where people can send comments. Yeah.
So he can like find out your address and then kill you. That's gonna be the next update.
He's just so self-absorbed. He just wants attention. That's pretty much it.
That is so fucked. He served his time, got out, and then fucking profited off of the fucked up thing he did.
Yeah, he profited, made people's lives worse.
I think they created a law to
They created a law to stop people like that from ever profiting ever again.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he still did.
He's just literally out there forcing Japan's hand and being like, well, now you gotta make a law, because I'm just gonna push it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is, I think, it takes the cake. I listen to a lot of true crime. This one takes the cake for me just because of how little he got in punishment, how much he made and got, like he got to be, he still is able to be anonymous. He lives a normal life. He gets to make money off of this book, you know, and like he gets the attention he wants.
That's kind of like the murder of the, I think her name was Junko, and it was the like teenage sons.
Oh, it was the four boys and who fucked her up.
Yeah,
oh my
they
God.
Like,
oh,
did you know, do you know about this, Julie? You have to.
No.
Julie,
oh,
you have
my
to. This
God,
is like the
this
most,
is the most brutal
no.
and iconic thing. Like a lot of people, like it's a popular one. I'm shocked you ever heard of it, but basically, yeah. What were they? The son of like the Yakuza or something.
Yeah.
And they basically,
they were basically protected.
Yeah, they were basically super fucking protected. They were all like high school boys. The one guy asked this girl Junko out and she rejected him politely. And was like, no, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Well, they kidnapped her. Like, threw her, basically, they took her to his house, like, the guy's house, the killer's house. Threw her in the basement, locked her. Like, I can't remember if the, no, the parents didn't know. But, like, a lot of people did. But basically, yeah, they tortured the shit out of her. They, like, it's fucked up what they did to her before she actually, like, died. Like, I would be begging for death.
Yeah, they cut body parts. And they didn't even, like, bury her properly.
Oh my God.
They put her body in, like, a cement.
Yeah, it was so
In a metal drum, poured cement over it or
they
something.
They served such little time. Like, embarrassing little. Like, I want to say, like, a year or less, essentially.
Why?
Like, it was bad.
It's insane.
Yeah, and then so the parents properly buried her daughter, but because this blew up and everyone started like kind of hating these boys, even though they got off like scot-free, like basically they like, the parents were like, fuck you, you ruined our son's life. They like defiled her grave.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this girl got like no just, like this poor, poor girl.
That is fucked.
It's so fucked up. That's what that reminds me of.
You know, I feel like we started out this Halloween episode being like, here's some fun, scary stories. And I knew the moment
now we're just
I would,
like, here's a real one.
I knew the moment I would get to some of these like true to life ones. It's just like,
well, that's the scariest thing.
The
cruelest
shit. The lack of empathy of people. It's like, anyway.
Did you read them all? Should we go check Twitter now?
Yeah.
Did we send out a question?
Yeah, I sent out a question.
He did.
I did.
let's read the question. Let's read the question.
So on Twitter, I asked, I have to fucking look at the gift that I fucking put, and I hate it. I said, what is one thing from your childhood that really scared you as a kid, like TV shows, games, etc., but you either forgot or repressed it until you got older? Well, okay. This one, I have to read.
Yes.
From the trickster at Akira Lux. This definitely freaks me out every time I saw it as a kid, and it's the return slide.
Yes, no, that one is also my one true fucking fear. Thank you for, thank you
my God.
For mentioning that.
Wait, I'm gonna link
horrifying.
This
honestly, everything from Courage the Cowardly
Dog.
Yeah,
me up.
I don't know why
Courage the Cowardly Dog was just like fucking weird and like that's like where a lot of like fears came from, I feel like, was that fucking show.
It's so good.
It formed me as a human.
It really did, and not for the better.
Okay, this is from at Sprout Seasons. I think it's Nidisa. They say, when I was really small, my cousin forced me to watch Coraline with him. And I've been the kind of person to get scared by shadows, so you can imagine how that went. I managed to forget it for a few years until I saw a picture of it online and memories returned.
That's so
Coraline is terrifying.
Like,
I would never see it as a child. I think it was in middle school when that happened, and I was like, nope.
I think it's meant for children.
It's a really good movie.
It's a
though.
Really good
it's
movie.
Terrifying.
The Spider Mom, though.
Okay, yeah.
No. I mean,
it was a little bit more terrifying in the book. I actually just watched someone rewatch it
and be like, what the fuck? Like, this was some scary shit.
It's terrifying.
She legit wanted to, like, take your eyes out and, like, put buttons in them.
Yeah, horrifying? Like, in that place. Thanks? Yeah. Thanks? Horrifying?
Like, how
hated
about
it?
No.
Yeah, so I approve, and also samesies.
Oh my god, my neighbor had so this one's from Shade at Shade Coar.
Yeah
at Shade Coar. They said my neighbor had a pile of dead branches and leaves in their backyard, said there was a snake man living in it. I've low-key been afraid of big piles of things unless it's something that I helped pile up. Finding a random big pile though, anything could be underneath waiting. And then they said, I can laugh about it now, but as a 4 or 5 year old, it was the freakiest shit ever. And like, yeah. I can like relate to that, like a parent or just someone older, like making shit up, whatever, mm-hmm. to freak you out as a kid, but it like leaves like a long lasting impression. Trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. Cause like,
yeah.
I don't know why I like was so attracted to like weird stuff as a child where I'd be like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I thought Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was like nonfiction, but like they could have very well been real.
I
read it too young to understand, and I was like, wow. Oof.
Why did our schools like carry that?
I kept buying it. I love it. I love it now, but oh my god. So okay. This is at Silver Mist, or Silmist, as we know. Mm-hmm. They sent a picture. So this one fucking tree face in my old neighborhood. This is a recent picture too. Means it's been up for like 15 years, LMFAO. This.
Okay.
This
dude,
picture.
I've seen.
I hate I have, this.
Fucking seen people buy this shit for trees, like,
horrible.
In their front yard or whatever.
Horrible.
I fucking hate white people.
This
is
like,
some
this
white
will be
people
cute.
Shit.
This will be cute, and then it wasn't, and it's horrifying. It's just a face on a tree, and it looks like going, oh? Like,
not
let me
stereotype,
eat?
Not the stereotype on Maine, but that's some white people shit there.
Oh, it is.
A white family.
I would not believe that it was not, like, a woman named Tiffany. Like, it's just that, no. Mm-mm. We don't do that. We don't do that stuff.
Okay, so wait, here's one. It's from at... I'm not sure how I'm supposed to read this, so I'm going to read it how I'm observing it. Hiki Max's poop.
Yes.
Though Hiki Max spoop sounds more Halloween-y, which is probably that, but I'm not going to lie. I read it as Hiki Max's poop. They said the Lavender Town thing from Pokemon Red/Blue really scared me. I literally could not sleep without thinking that the white hand or buried alive is going to get me. God, there's so many.
I hate that song.
There's so many, like...
Lavender Town. No.
Creepypastas, like, about it.
Like, no.
That it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Just hate it. Just hate it, honestly.
Ooh, I remember I played this one. Literally, I don't even know why I downloaded it. I fully knew what I was getting myself into, and yet I was surprised when the thing happened. I played this one Lavender Town, like, creepypasta game hack, whatever. And basically, it was like you were in Lavender Town, you could go travel, but you, couldn't like quit the game. It wouldn't let you quit, so you had to like hold the escape button. Well, once you press escape, the game full screened and centered your mouse, and it played this really fucked up Lavender Town music and flashed these like Pokemon sprites fucked up, and there may have been some like Pokemon, god forbid, gore. I don't know. I like looked away so fast, but I had to like literally I didn't even restart my computer. I like control alt deleted and like somehow got my mouse to go to like the corner and like exit out of it.
No alt F4.
I was very young back then. I didn't even know alt F4.
Also, I have to give a big shout out to this person that I had to Google what they were talking about, and I'm so glad that they like I did, because okay, this is at Yavuz Bavuz or Yavuz Babas Bavas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they said Chowder Funny Baby.
What?
And huh? Okay, let me I'm gonna put this in Twitter post here. So it's
no,
actually, do you recognize this? He dances.
Yes.
I recall this from Chowder. I recall
this.
Yes. I kind of thought it, I thought it was really funny.
I sort of need that as my new profile picture.
I kind of vibe within 2020.
It's
got like roasted chicken legs.
It has big 2020 vibes.
It also dances. It kind of does like this little dance.
Oh, yay.
And also they say, as well as most of Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack, which I'm
okay,
so
true.
Glad I was old enough to like
to
appreciate
it.
Because I'm sure if I was any younger, I'd be like, wow, this is horrifying.
Yeah.
Because the candy
guy, one.
Where his gums,
oh my
his
God.
Like lip goes up and his gums are out and I, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait, the one where it's like, the one clip where it's like, the dog that did flips or whatever.
Yes.
And it was like, you may have won over Flapjack and the other woman, but you'll never impress. And then it goes, park, park, and it flips, and it just zooms in on that hyper-realistic face, and it's like, ooh.
My favorite part is literally just this one sentence where, like, this teacher, like, her name is, like Miss... leading, and she's like, hello, I'm misleading. And I was like, this is so good. Like, the fact that, one, she was evil, because she's, you know, misleading. But I was like, also, she's a teacher. It works on so many levels. I was like, this is top.
I put the Flapjack clip in there for you
thank
as well.
You.
And it's
thank
just
you.
So good.
So, I hate you. that series is amazing. kind of sad it's gone. But yeah, it definitely had a lot of terrifying energy completely. But okay.
Oh, hold on, wait, I got one more. It's from at Sugaha. And they said, I forget.
Sugaha.
And they said, I forget what it was called, but it was a story about a really tall woman who would steal children if they stayed out too long. I didn't go outside much as a kid after hearing that. I had remembered it in other stories and had to go to Star Therapy for things I had heard. And it's like that face emoji.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
fucked. That's horrifying. That, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually that woman, though. That's me, though. I'm a tall woman. I'm actually tall. You don't know.
You want to steal children? Like, no.
I don't want to steal them.
Children are disgusting. They're covered in snot. No, we don't want them. We want money. So be the tall woman that, like, steals money.
Yes, agreed.
I just have, like, really long arms, and I just reach it in your back pocket and be like, ha ha.
You just pickpocket.
I just pickpocket with my really long
yes,
arms.
Yes, I love it. We love to hear it.
We love that.
But okay, yeah, y'all got trauma. We all have trauma. I support it. I hope y'all are enjoying therapy.
Tonight is not the night for trauma. It's for the jack-o'-lantern's trauma. Being gutted alive and fire put inside its body.
Honestly, I just feel like we all just need to treat ourselves to some like really low budget horror. You know, like just
yes, the oh my God, something the clown wearing aliens from outer space
mm-hmm,
is that
mm-hmm.
the movie? Yes,
yeah,
yes,
clowns.
A very
what?
Good one.
Clowns from outer space.
Killer clowns from outer space.
Killer clowns from
that's
outer space.
Yes.
Excuse
Zombiever. Me. Zombie Beaver. The movie you were watching it.
Oh, the movie on
yes,
Netflix.
Yes, we have to. It's so good.
So bad.
So yes. So bad. So
bad. But yes, we all wish everyone a spooky Halloween.
Yes.
Because it's just
do.
Too spooky already. And once again, shout out to these
shout
books
out.
That I have pulled from by Tara Devlin. You can find them on
thank you, on Tara Amazon.
Thank you, Tara. They're super cheap too. Like they're all Kindle. But yeah, definitely worth a read if you're interested in more of those weird stuff in Japan, man. But yeah, also once again, you know, we put out an episode every month, and you know, it's been like,
we have been for the past six seasons.
For the past six seasons, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. We do the topic rotation, God knows what's going to happen, within the next couple months.
Next month, if we even have... Yeah.
But you know what? We'll let you know.
We sure will.
We'll let you know.
And also, you know, you can find us on mostly Twitter. Let's just say Twitter. At Yonaguchi Time.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It's Twitter.
It's Twitter.
Yeah, you can also donate on Patreon. You know, there's a whole Discord that doesn't exist, or does it? And
who knows?
You'll also...
I don't know. I think it sort of nuked itself. It's been like, what, 6 years?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't actually checked
on
it in a while.
I think they might have evolved into zombies at this point by the nuclear waste.
Yes.
Let's hope that one person hasn't taken over.
God knows. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, at the end of this episode, we're going to be doing a tarot card reading. And
yes.
We'll do it for one of our Patreons, or for one of our patrons. But yeah, that's that on that.
And that's that on that, sister.
That's that on that.
Have a happy Halloween, guys.
Have
and
a happy
we'll
Halloween,
catch you
everyone.
Next time.
Happy Halloween.
Don't eat the open candy.
Okay. No, I will.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.
See if this is recording. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Patreon corner, where we do tarot polls, which I feel like is very suitable for this season because it's very spooky outside, and you know, there's just something very spooky about tarot cards too. Not that they're going to curse you or anything, but. Anyway, we won't go off on that tangent. So first, I want to say thank you to everyone who's been a patron. You guys have really supported us this far. And I'm just going to start listing names, honestly. Nevin, Oka Mines, Kyo Villamayor. I'm still sorry about that. Shivan, Michael Toe, Headphonics, Donald Price, Big Bat Majima. Ooh, dang. Catherine, Michael Lubina, B. Kenneth Schmidt. Dominicus Marius. I hope I did that right. Tirami Miku, Cyrus Cairns, Oz Razgriz, Davey Smith, Matt Barton, and Wonder Blanket. Thank you to everybody who's supported. Thank you so much. I know that we kind of mess up a lot, and you know, there might be episodes missing for whatever reason, you know, that comes about, but just know that we're very thankful, and we really appreciate the support. So let's get down to some tarot polls. Let's see who should we choose today. You know what? Let's do the very top of the list. Let's do Nevin. Okay. So Nevin, in your mind, imagine a yes or no question. It can be anything. It can be about love. It can be about just life in general. It can be about even just a really small, thing in your life. And we'll pull a card and we'll try to give a very vague answer to it. So, are you ready? Your card is... Temperance, right side up. Okay, this is the middle path, patience, finding meaning. So taking the middle road, finding a balance in life that allows you to attain a sense of calm. When it relates to
when it relates to the external world, it also means adapting, cooperation, and mediation. So, I mean, this feels like a very vague, like a more vague than usual answer, but, you know, I think whatever your question was, I think that this is basically just telling you, like, you know, it's gonna be good. Don't worry about it so much, you know, like, you're not gonna be choosing the high road or the low road. You're taking the middle path, you know? You have that balance. You're going to find that balance in life. And I think it's actually a pretty calm, you know, like coming to terms with things. It's a good thing. So yeah, I think whatever it is, just, you know, be patient and things will turn out all right. So I hope that was helpful in any way. But yeah, thank you once again just to everyone who supported us. And, you know, I hope you guys have a happy Halloween. Bye.